You said you're actually helping people building their own companies. How does that work? Are you like playing an advisor for people? Or?
We call it more like mentorship, right? So it's kind of helping understand how people are and then helping them out on making their decisions and do the right things.
If you know people in the industry and you're looking for a job, don't be scared. That's the second thing I want to put out. I can imagine how hard it is, and I know how hard it was for me after being very much sustainably employed, even if I changed jobs, just to get out and say, I'm actually looking for stuff. I'm open for work.
What you should be doing, you should have this broad approach. You should be looking at things that interest you, right? And then people say, oh yes, but then I have to learn everything. No, you don't, right? You have to learn about everything.
You're listening to SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast. Today, another incredible guest, and you know the spiel. I say that every time, and you know it's true. But this time, it's one of those like special episodes where we want to do a little bit of a different thing. Normally, we talk about technology, but once in a while, I sprinkle in some other things. And today is one of those episodes with a good friend of mine, Bruno Souza from Brazil. Very long way. Thank you for coming all the way down here.
Hey, Chris. Good to be here with you, man. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Maybe just say a few words about yourself.
So, hey, hello, everyone. It's so good to be here with you, Chris, but everyone is watching us. It's amazing here. And, you know, me and Chris were talking right before this and talking about the importance of career, right? So career is one of those things that it's a never-ending thing, right? It's like an infinite game that we have to be playing all the time. And so for me, it has been a game that I've been playing for, you know, almost 30 years now that I've been helping people grow their careers. And usually, Chris, it was something that I did on the side, right? You know, while I was doing other things. And lately I've seen that a lot of you guys are listening here are needing some more career help. So that's what I do today, Chris, right? I help, you know, professional developers like you guys to grow your reputation and get some visibility in the market so you can work on amazing jobs. You can work on the best jobs and best projects in the industry. And you know, I've been, as I said, I've been doing this for a long time. And you know, I've been an evangelist for Sun. I've worked on NetBeans. I've worked on OpenSolaris. I've built Java, one of the largest Java user groups in the world. I've built the Java user groups community, and you know, something like this. I had and failed on a startup. so all kinds of interesting things. And it's great to be here with you.
I think a great start, a failed startup belongs to every good developer and every good engineer and probably everyone in the tech industry. Everyone should have this experience of how hard it is to actually build a company, which is not just a great idea, but also sustainable. I think the general rule is like 1 out of 10 startups will eventually make it. I think that is what VCs work with or like calculate with. And being this one startup, it's such a low chance, and still, it's a great experience. Even if your startup eventually fails, I've been there as well. So whatever.
Yeah, I know we can have good ideas, but turning good ideas into something that makes money. Actually, making money is so hard, right? So you know, sometimes we forget about that, especially because in the software industry, salaries are so high, right? That we kind of forget how hard and how difficult it is to make money. And that's one of the things that we discuss a lot, right? So I do help a lot of my mentees to build their own companies and build like a second incoming stream. So yes, it's all, I think that this whole discussion about career is so interesting. So thanks so much for the opportunity here.
You're welcome. Maybe let's just stay with that topic for a second. You said you're actually helping people building their own companies. How does that work? Are you like playing an advisor for people, or how does that look like?
Yeah, so one of the things that I do a lot is actually, you know, we call it more like mentorship, right? So it's kind of helping understand how people are and then helping them out on t- making making their decisions and do the right things. And that's one thing that I've been doing for a long time, usually very informal, right? And I think all of us do a little bit. I've been doing for my friends forever, right? And, you know, a lot of my friends have grown up and you know, become top developers in the world and, you know, become Java champions and Microsoft MVPs and all that. And so, and for me, I would do this, you know, I would have my day job and then doing this on at nights, on weekends. And as you know, there's a limit on how many people can actually reach out and help out by doing this, right? And so a lot of the things that I was doing was, you know, trying to combine this idea of just helping people with whatever I was doing in my company, right? You know, when I was working for Sun, it was a little easier because I was an evangelist, so it's easier to reach out to people. But, you know, but when I built my own consulting company, I had most of my time was billable hours, right? So, you know, so the amount of time that you have to really go out and help people are smaller, right? Less opportunities. And so what happened was that, you know, I was really honestly, and I tell this and people think that's just like a marketing phrase, but it's very true, right? So I was running out of friends, man. So I wanted to have more friends. So for that, I needed to have more time, right? So I working on how to do this as a business so I could actually have more time and help more people, right? So today I do have a small group of mentees that I work with, right, more directly. I have some mentees that I work individually. But really what's happening is that now I have more time, right? So for example, last week we had the developers conference here in São Paulo and we launched a new initiative called the Mentorship Hub, where we had around 50 mentors spending the 3 days of the event, you know, talking with people and helping them out, understanding what they're going, you know, because mentorship is a little bit different than an instructor, right? You know, because an instructor has some content that he wants to give, right? And that's all fine. It's good. We learn a lot from instructors. But a mentor is someone that, you know, has a piece of content, right? But they're really trying to understand what's your situation, right? So what's going on in your life? What's going on in your career? So what you tried, what you didn't try, right? And so, and then help you adjust, right? Because every career is different. Every path is different. And we don't have like this one, oh yeah, so this, just do this and it's going to be great for you. Because, you know, you have to try it out. You have to learn how to do. You have to build the skill. And then you have to make mistakes, right? All of that. And so, you know, you can imagine more like a consultant, right? For a career, maybe.
Right. And that was for the conference. So people were walking with their mentees around the conference and were...
Well, so on the conference itself, right, we had like an area, right? So it was like a hub where we had, you know, five tables, or actually four big tables and one small table, right? So five tables that we had there with mentors all around. And then, you know, we had some topics during the day. And so people would join us. So it would be like a group mentorship, like a small group mentorship, like you know, it was between 6 and 15 people, right? Because, you know, the table was just for six, right? But then, you know, some mentorships, you know, people flocked to it, and so we had more and more people. It was good, right? So we had about, you know, somewhere about between 250 and 300 people coming around and sitting like for 1 hour with someone that's willing there to listen to what's going on, understand their career problems, and then helping them out.
Oh, that's cool. I think that could be a really good idea for a lot of conferences. I mean, a lot of conferences also have those programs for students, and I guess Revamp it must be like super, super beneficial. But even for like general employees, as you said, we talked a little bit before the recording, and in the last 1.5 or 2 years, we had this massive layoff rounds. Sometimes, I don't know, like 10, 20 companies basically doing the same thing at the same time. I made the joke last year that some business magazine or some business analyst or whatever have made up the number 30 and every company just laid off 30%. I think for those people, it must be super beneficial as well. Not everyone is in this like super easy position. I mean, even for me, it took a couple of, weeks, but still like more than 3 months to actually find something that I wanted to do. And I was on the lucky side because I had the chance to select. But I know that for a lot of people, that is not necessarily true. So if there's conference organizers out there and you think that is a cool concept, I guess they can just drop you a line and you're more than happy to help them out how to set it up and make it happen.
Yeah, reach out to me. And one of the things that I'm seeing a lot, you're totally right, Chris, there is, you know, the layoffs kind of put some lights into the problems, right? Because there's what I see, let's talking about Java in particular, right? But that's true for many other technologies. You know, Java is now, I don't know, almost 30 years old, right? So, it's exactly right. So then what we have right now is that we have all these amazing people, right? They have been developing software for 15, for 20 years, right? So maybe, you know, even some of them approaching 30 years, for example, just in Java, right? And so they have different problems than they had when they started, right? When they become. So I, for example, I work mostly with developers with 10, 15 or more years of career, right? So, and it's funny that the things that brought us here, right, are not the things that are going to bring us to the next level, right? And so, and that's one thing that I'm seeing a lot, is lots and lots of people coming to discuss that and coming to, you know, to have questions about what do I do now, right? And, you know, because they've been trying the same thing that they've been doing for, you know, for the last 10 or 15 years, and it's not working anymore. And I think the layoffs actually put a light on this, right? Because, you know, we were in a moment that, you know, there's lots of jobs, everyone was you know, getting very high pay, all of that. And so there's not a lot of things that we needed to do to get on an amazing job, right? So of course, you know, different people are luckier or have a little bit more skills on getting jobs than others. But in general, we were in a very good position. Then the layoffs that happened the last couple of years are really strained us a little bit, right? Because now there's a lot of good people that are not able to get jobs and they don't know why, right? You know, I'm very good. I'm an amazing developer. I have lots of experience. I've done all that. And why can't I find something, right? And so we talk a little bit about the job market. And one of the things that's a reality is that some research shows that up to 75% of jobs are in what they call the hidden job market, right? So those are invisible jobs, right? And so if people that have been well employed and working for several years without having to look for a job, they need to start looking for one, and they don't understand what the hidden job market is. So they're looking for something that they don't even realize how it actually works, right? So yeah, so I think that there has been a surge of people needing help. There are way more advanced that, you know, you'd look for their career and say, oh man, this guy's all fine, right? So this doesn't need any help, but in reality they do. And I think that's where individual support and mentorship can help a lot.
Yeah, and I think there's two things to it. I mean, you talked about this last year at your keynote in at JCon in Munich, Cologne, I don't remember. Too many cities in Germany. And you also brought up this concept of the hidden job market. And for a lot of people, that seems to be very foreign. But the main idea behind that is that somebody actually in the company already actually recommends you. So the company will, the job offer will actually never be put out into the public at all, which is the job you actually want. Right? Because if the company doesn't know anyone to contact for the position and potentially doesn't want to pay high, the worst thing from my perspective is when the headhunter comes along and offers you this amazing position. 99% of the time, it's like the least of the favorable options ever. Because now the company is completely lost and doesn't know what to do, so they take headhunters. So from my perspective, that is like if you know people in the industry and you're looking for a job, don't be scared. That's the second thing I want to put out. I can imagine how hard it is, and I know how hard it was for me after being very much sustainably employed, even if I change jobs, just to get out and say, I'm actually looking for stuff. I'm open for work. Just this morning, I actually saw a post from somebody. She worked as an artist for Disney and I don't know what else. She actually put the desperate banner on her photo because she learned that you should not put this open to work on your photo because makes you look desperate. And she was like, I am desperate. So I'm making it very, very obvious, right? And I think it's something people need to understand. There's nothing bad about needing a job or we're not finding something. Let people help you. Let people recommend you.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So I actually have a mentee that when I first met him, he had this idea that, you know, look, I have to find a job on my own merits, right? So for example, he would go to companies that he knew he had good friends at, right? For even sometimes for teams that he had a friend there. And so he would hide from his friends that he was talking to the company because he said, oh, you know, if he helps me, then it's not my own merit. So I don't deserve the job, for example, right? And it's actually, when he learned that that's not how it actually works, right? So he's been getting, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger jobs like this all the time, right? So, you know, he's very well positioned right now. I was talking to him the other day. He's very well positioned. He really growing a lot. And so that is something that we have to understand, right? So yes, don't be afraid. Talk with people. Be nice about it, right? No, it's not. And one of the problems of you leaving to letting it get to the point of desperation, right, is because it gets to a point where you start, you know, because look, the best way for you to talk with people about that, for example, right, is figure out how you can be helpful, right? So the more helpful you are, the more people are going to be able to, we want to talk to you. So if you let this go until the moment that you're desperate, then you're calling people that you haven't talked to a long time. You're calling people that you're not comfortable with, and you're calling them with a request, right? And that's going to be awkward for you. That's going to be kind of weird for them too, right? So the best way for you to do this is kind of maintain a certain level of networking or talking to people and you know, being present in their lives and helping them out. And so there's all kinds of things that can be done, right? But yeah, you know, talk to people, right? Talk to people, let them know that you're looking for something. Let them know that you're available, and you don't need to put these on your social media, right? So you can talk to everyone that you know, everyone that you follow. You can even reach out to people that you don't have a direct connection. And I do understand, you know, I don't want to put these on my social media, and I think it makes sense. But at the same time, you know, don't let this. You know, it's one thing I don't want to put in my social media. That's one thing. The other thing is you can talk to people, right? So reach out to people, reach out to them, reach out to your friends, let them know what you do. And one of the things that happens is that I think that's one of the hard things that when you reach out, you know, if I reach out to you, Chris, and say, hey, Chris, I'd love, you know, to work in your company. Is there anything for me? Then if you don't know what I do, right? If you don't know how I can help you, how I can help your company, you might say, yes, you know, I can point out to someone, right? You know, here's our page of job offers, right? But if I can tell you, hey, Chris, you know what? You know, my passion is, you know, helping developers to grow their careers and to, you know, to be more visible. Is there any place in your company that I could work with you, right? You know, so now you have an idea. You have something that you can work with, right? You know, that could be, you can say, hey, Bruno, in our evangelist team needs someone, right? Or because it's more like what you're saying. Or you can say, you know, maybe you can come in and have a conversation with our team so that was going to give you some insight or some understanding of how the team works. I mean, if you tell me, or you know, in this case, if I can tell Chris what I do in a way that he can understand and pass it forward, right, then things helps a lot. Lots of people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, if there's any job, let me know, right? It's like, job for what, right? So
exactly. So what are you looking for? You. Yeah. Before going to the next thing, mm-hmm. I think it's also important for people to understand there's no reason to be scared to have somebody help. I had my own startup, but I also I'm in the, like, I don't know, fifth startup or whatever. The best people we hired were either people that were already active in the community, basically our own referral mechanism, or it was people that were actually referred, because people are often very careful. They don't just recommend everyone, but they recommend people they know are actually really good. And if a recommendation comes in, it's normally a really good sign. And from a company's perspective, you would be stupid not to to go into that.
Yeah, I like to say, Chris, that, you know, if you know someone that's very good, you recommend to your team, to your company, right? If you know someone is a good friend of yours, but you know they're not very good, you recommend to someone else.
Fair. So that's probably how it works. Yeah.
Right. And that is true, right? So and of course, you know, there are moments where you don't have a place to recommend inside your company. But the thing is, if there is a recommendation inside your company for someone to work in the company, to work in the team, you're putting your reputation on the line. You know, if I tell you, hey, Chris, you know, I have this friend of mine, he's going to be great to work for, to work here in our company, you know, and if this person turns out to be terrible, turns out to not do the things, turns out to, you know, to be a terrible person to work with and all that, I'm the one who's going to be singled out. I say, hey, Bruno, how come you suggest this person, right? And so we don't do that. We don't suggest. And that's one interesting thing for you, that you're looking for your friends to recommend you, is that, you know, that you go talk with them, right? Understand, you know, how you can help, how can you be helpful, how you can be like a giver and help people out. And that makes a huge difference.
We talked about earlier about that a lot of people don't really have a feeling why they can't find a new job. And part of that is probably like a changing ecosystem. We're mostly a cloud podcast. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that a lot of companies are actually moving from on-prem to the cloud, and jobs change, or you need other different frameworks, you need to know different technology. What do you think is like the thing people, if they have this problem right now and have this feeling like, what should I really look into? What should I learn? Do you have any feeling, any recommendation from your discussions?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends where you are right now, right? So, for example, if you are in the beginning of your career, you know, have somewhere like 5-10 years of less than 10 years of career, for example, then probably there's a lot of things that you can learn. Probably a lot of things that you can, you know, if you master that thing, you create a new line in your curriculum, for example, right? And so, you know, I have a general idea that the best way to learn anything is that being hired to work on that stuff, right? So you know, because then you have to be there all the time. But of course, you know, you're not going to be hired to do something you've never done before, right? You know, it has to be, you know, for example, maybe you're very good in the financial market, you're working with Java in the financial markets, and you'll have lots of experience with working on, I don't know, like credit card fraud, right? And so extending that to do that thing on clouds, that would be an amazing way of extending and learning something. So you can probably get a position to do, you know, finance Java application of credit card fraud in the cloud, even though you don't have any cloud experience, right? But so when you're beginning, learning something can really help you out. But when you grow a little bit more, it's usually not what you need to learn, right? It's usually more, you know, how you can show that you can really help the company. Because look, after 10 years of experience, right, you know how to learn. You know, all of us have been gone through all kinds of different tools and all kinds of different technologies. You know, we've learned different languages, we apply different strategies. You know, so after 10 years of experience, you have enough knowledge and enough experience that anything that comes along, you will learn and apply it, right? There's no doubt about that. And so, so I think that when you get to that level, you know, you need to be able to show the company that yes, you can learn fast, you can apply things fast, right? And you can apply your past experience on whatever comes next, right? And because companies don't hire us to work, yes, you know, I'm going to hire you to work for a year and go away, right? That's that's usually not the idea. Now, when you hire someone, it's a huge effort, it's a huge expense, and you want that person to work for, you know, for 10 years, right? I'm not sure that's going to happen, but that's the idea. I want someone. And so in the next 10 years, so many things are going to change. So many technology is going to change. That companies actually need someone that can adapt, that can apply new things, that can learn new things, right? So if you can show that, that's very, very important. That said, you know, there are some things that are, you know, that have more appeal, right? So for example, you know, if you're like cloud computing, DevOps, you know, AI, right? Data science, big data. I mean, there are some things that have a different appeal because there's lots of people wanting to do that, right? Lots of people trying to do this. And so if you're someone that has a little bit of experience, that you've done some of those things, that you applied this in a project, you applied this inside your company right now, of course, all those things are going to help you out because it allows you to enter on those markets a little bit better.
I had one question that just dropped from my mind. Whatever.
It's okay. So while you're thinking a little bit that, right? So you know, one of the things that I really think that helps a lot in terms of we learning things, right? Is that we go do something, right? It's not about you know, you don't put the books that you read or the courses that you took on your resume, right? You put the things that you did, right? So sometimes even doing a small project, right? That you can talk about, that you can show, right? Even if it's something for you, right? That's something that you're using, not like, oh, yes, I implement this sample application, right? No, not a sample application. Just do something that's real, right? That you can use, that your friends can use, maybe that your company, you know, I always like to talk about this mentee of mine, Rodrigo, right? That he was working on a company, right? And he loved automation, right? And I said to him, man, apply automation in your company. He said they don't want that, right? They don't want to. They think that automation is a waste of time, so they want to just you know, do the things, right, instead of automate, right? And so I said, okay, that's good, but you love automation, right? So go do automation inside your company, right? Even if they don't agree with that, you know, do the things that are important for you. So if you have to do something, automate that thing, because it's going to help you, maybe not the company, it's going to help you. And the reality is that he learned that. So today he's the automation expert on a game company in Canada, right? So he's very happy right now. But better than that, what happens is that when he decided to move on, he left behind a lot of automation, right? That allowed the company to continue to do the things he was doing, even though that was not what they wanted in the beginning, right? So you can find those small things that you can do, right? Oh, you know, my company doesn't use cloud, but you can do like a little cloud thing to automate something that you're doing, right? Maybe to run a test, maybe to help out in some, you know, just do a tool for you, right? Oh, you know, my company doesn't use AI. Okay, so then you could get and then use AI to help you code better, for example, right? So, you know, by having those experience, allows you to come into an interview, for example, or in a job offer, they can say, look, I have experience with that. You know, I've done it. Although my company was not interested, my company's not using this in production, I've done this for me. You know, I've learned that thing in real life. And that makes a huge difference.
Right. So the thing that I actually wanted to say was to the point that we are lucky because we're in an industry where change is a very much constant. So we're very much used to keep learning new things and adjusting to things, which is very different from a lot of other industries. For the sake of time...
Some people say luck, some people say curse, right?
Yeah,
but I agree with you. It's a very dynamic industry, and I think there's a lot of things. But at the same time, we don't let this scare you, because a lot of things that we do are very grounded in fundamentals that have existed for several decades right now, right?
So right. For the sake of time, because we're running a little bit out of time already, and I did not expect that. The question I always ask people, like, what do you think is like the next big thing? What do you see on the horizon coming up?
Oh well, that is an interesting question. you know, I really love the Java approach, right? That's that, you know, that, you know, you can explore all kinds of things, right? And then, you know, because really, first of all, there's so many things going on right now, right? There's so many new things coming on, you know, just programming languages and libraries and ideas. There's so many things going on. Clearly, AI is probably the big one right now that everyone's talking about, right? But in reality, we don't know. We don't know exactly what's coming along, right? So, you know, it could be, look, people call me the Java man, right? But, you know, and I was lucky, right? That's, you know, I was very, very lucky that I've learned about Java 1 week before the official release of Java, right? Not the official, the first demonstration of Java, right? So I was very lucky about that. So, I was even luckier that I decided to follow that up, right? But honestly, when Java was released, man, it could have gone nowhere, right? And like other things, you know, I still have a bunch of Genie books, right? You know, here among my friends, I was known the Genie guy because I really love a Genie, right? For me, it was like such an amazing, innovative technology. I thought Genie was just gonna explode, right? It never did. And so, and then I'm not sure if you remember, because I was like the distributed software guy, right? So then Juxta come along, right? So have you ever heard of Juxta? Right? Most people have never heard of that, right? So Juxta was like the new Genie kind of thing. And I just loved that. And I did lots of things with that. And I don't even know what that is right now, right? So there's all kinds of new things that can come along, right? And you know, they can come along and disappear, right? And we don't actually have any insight of that. But here's how it works, right? What you should be doing, that you should have this broad approach. You should be looking at things that interested you, right? And then people say, oh, yes, but then I have to learn everything. No, you don't, right? You have to learn about everything. One of the best ways for you to keep up to date and keep looking at what's going on is you learn about, right? So, you know, let's say Juxta just come along, right? And so that's an old technology, but, you know, let's say Juxta just come along. I don't know what it is, but then I can look and find out what it is. Oh, like it's a distributed protocol that can be used. Okay, so cool, right? So I know what it is. I know what to use it for. I know some of the advantages, some of the disadvantages. And that's, you know, that is something that you're going to learn in one reading of, you know, like some documentation, right? And even though you don't go deep on it, you know about it, right? And so you heard this one time, and then there's going to be another event or just somebody, a talk, and you're going to hear about a second time, and then a third time, and then it's okay. So that might be something I should be looking more into it, right? And so, but then save that, right, in your head or in your computer, wherever you want, right? Save that as something that you know about, right? Because you knowing about means that you can learn about it. You can learn more of it when you need it. And then if you find some place that thing can be used, then you apply it, right? Even if it's a small thing. And then now you're learning it, right? But if you know about lots of things, you're going to be way more prepared to decide what it is, what you use, when to use it, right? So I don't know. I'm not sure, Chris, right now, you know, AI is like the big thing. I'm worried about AI for different reasons, but AI is it's one of the big things right now that the market is looking for, right? There's tons and tons. I mean, we're in an AI bubble right now, right? There's tons and tons of AI startups, right? And so, you know, sometime in the future, some of them are going to consolidate, some of them is going to disappear, right? But that's a huge opportunity, right? Because, you know, when startups get consolidated, they get acquired, right? So that's a huge opportunity for a lot of people to do that, right? So even though people say it's a bubble, I don't mind bubbles, man. I think the bubbles are a great way for sure to move ahead. So that would be one thing to look in right now. But I think that's kind of cliche because everyone's talking about AI right now. But you knowing about things, I think that's going to be the big thing.
Right. Okay. I think that's very fair. And as you said, I also don't mind bubbles. You don't want to be in the bubble by the time it actually pops.
Right.
You want to have made your money by that point.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Last question, and then I let you go back to Brazil.
Okay, no problem.
Is there anything else you want to have the audience know about? I know there's a newsletter that comes out weekly, biweekly, whatever. Maybe tell whatever you want to tell about it.
Okay, well, so you know, if you guys want, can I give a book?
Sure.
All right. So, you know, so we're talking about here, thinking about the future, thinking about your career, right? So, a book that I wrote is a tiny little book. It's called The Best Developer Year, right? And so it's a good way to enter the newsletter because you download the book and then you join in the newsletter, right? And so if you go to jav.mn/best year, right, you're going to get a free book. It's a short book that's very actionable. That's going to help you think about the future, right? So we're talking to be here about, you know, what is the next step, right? So, or how do I get a job or anything like that. The reality is that if you think about your career, think about your focus, think about what you want to do, how far you want to get, right? So you think about those things, it's going to be a lot easier for you to think about and go after the best jobs you want, go after the best technologies. You know, the best technology for you, it's probably not the best technology for me, right? And so if you're thinking about what really do you want to do, what you want to achieve, it's a lot easier for you to decide what is the thing you should follow, right? So this book is going to help you out. And then what happens, Chris, is that once you download the Best Developer Year book, what happens that you get into my newsletter that you mentioned, right? So in my newsletter, it's, I'm going to say almost daily, right? Because not every day I'm able to do, but that's what I try. I try to give you some interesting insights, like a little bit every day. So you can, you know, I think career is this infinite game that we have to move forward a little bit every day. So, you know, I try to come up with interesting ideas, interesting things that you can apply, you know, that you can even do for your career every day. So, you know, sometimes I miss out, right? You know, I'm actually on a hiatus right now because I was organizing the developers conference that happened last week. And I was so crazy busy, right, that I was not able to send as daily as I like it, right? But, you know, I'm back now and you guys can expect me. But more than that, right? So the fact, once you join in my newsletter, you get, you know, once you download the book, you get my email. And then I'm very, very open to answer your questions, anything that you have, right? There's anything that we didn't talk here today, just send me an email, you know, tell me your situation. And I'd be very happy to discuss with you, right? So, you know, that's one of the things that I do a lot, Chris, is I do this career conversations, right? So I sit down with people and I go deep in their careers, understand what problems they have, and we try to make up a plan for people, right? So, you know, if you need some help like this, let me know, and I'll be happy to figure out a way to help you out.
Awesome. You see, I didn't even realize, but it's almost daily because there's always something to read in it. It's certainly one of the better newsletters that I get. And I,
thank you so
as
much,
I said, I was not aware that it is basically a daily or is supposed to be a daily thing. All right. Yeah,
let me say, it's not supposed to, right? I try to write as many emails as I can, right?
Right?
But, you know, my goal is to be a daily email, right? And I miss out sometimes.
All right, fair enough. All right, I think that was by far the longest episode we had so far. Sorry to the audience, but I hope the topic was super interesting. There is so much more to say about. I already left questions out. Mm-hmm. As Bruno said, if you have questions, you know where the show notes are. We put the book and the newsletter sign-ups in there. If you have questions to him directly, you also know where to find him. So thank you very much for being an amazing guest. That is, I think, a conversation we could go on for like hours and hours. I have so many more questions. But thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Chris. Thanks for this effort that you're doing here. I think that, you know, bringing technology and good discussions to everyone is so good because, you know, we have so many amazing people in the community, right, that can come here and talk about their experience and help people out. So thanks for doing this. And for you that's watching us, sorry for the long episode, but thanks so much. It was great to be here with you.
Thank you very much. Everyone at home, you know the spiel. Come back next week, same place, same time. I hope you listen in again. Thank you very much. And don't forget to like, subscribe, all the random stuff that you normally are supposed to do.
The Cloud Commute Podcast is sponsored by Simply Block, your own Elastic Block Storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io